Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Happy Friday. Hope everyone's having a good week so far and have, got some good plans going on for the weekend here. It started out as a rainy day here in New York, has now turned into pretty nice. So hopefully this will carry over through most of the weekend. I know they're forecasting a little bit of some more rain here and there throughout, but make the best of it, right, as always. Joining me back on the show for part 7 of the 12-part extended series is Dr. Linda Groff. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, I'm glad to be back. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to have you. I know, we had the last show was about 2 weeks ago now, and you were back out on the road. So why don't you share with us quickly, what you were doing in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I went to Washington, D.C. for the World Future Society Annual Conference and just came back from that. All the flights were delayed because of weather going east and west coming back. So I don't know. The weather's kind of strange these days. But, yeah.
It is, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So my topic today is about peace, but I also do future studies and peace studies and so on. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, Linda, while we're discussing this, though, I'm curious to know, about the conference itself. Before we get into today's topic, I'm wondering, what was it that was discussed or what that you took away from it?
Well, I've been going to futures conferences for many years, and, there's a range of topics that people discuss, and, but there are, I did talk about this, the first two talks. One was on technology, including agricultural industrial information age. The second interview I did was on some of the new technologies that are really raising all kinds of new issues. And so there was a lot of discussion of that. Also issues of sustainability, issues of, consciousness and so on. So futurists look at anything that's driving change and creating change, and also how we have to change our thinking and mindsets if we wanted to be more conscious and responsible and see the world as interdependent is also important. Yeah,
sure.
All of that. Yeah. And I think that's also true if we look at peace stuff,
Absolutely, yeah. So for today's topic now, we're discussing building cultures of peace on planet Earth. So why don't you take us into today's topic?
Okay. All right. Well, I've done peace studies for years as well. And what's interesting about peace studies is that everybody in the world says they're for peace, but what do they mean, right? There is a whole field of peace studies combined with conflict resolution, nonviolence, and violence issues, that people study. And so I've done a lot of writing in this area as well and teaching and so on. But if we look at what is peace, you can look at it as goals for society in the world, like what do we have to accomplish if we want to create a more peaceful world. We can look at peace as the nonviolent means we want to use to accomplish those goals, because violence seems to lead to more violence, doesn't help create a more peaceful world. You can look at peace as a feeling, like how do you feel when you feel peaceful? And even you could say, like, if what is peace when you have inner peace inside of you, not just peace that you're trying to achieve in the world, and how do you radiate that out to the world? So peace has all those different aspects, but also within the peace studies field, there's been an evolving view of what are some of the goals we need to accomplish if we want to create a more peaceful world. So, I've been writing for a long time with my late husband earlier on 7 evolving aspects of peace from the peace studies field. So I can go ahead and do that. But, it's also like, why is peace important? So the problem is we have way too much violence in the world today. We have domestically, we're getting, right now we're getting too many cases of both minorities being targeted, but also policemen being killed who shouldn't be. And then we've got ISIS in the world and so on. So the bottom line is we have a lot of very advanced technology today. And if we keep trying to solve our problems with violence, we're going to end up destroying everything, including ourselves. So we've got to find more nonviolent ways to resolve our conflict. So today I'm going to talk about peace. And next time, which is, I think, August 5th on Friday, we're going to talk about nonviolence as the means, desired means to bring about change. But today we're going to just talk about how have our views of peace evolved and how do different cultures contribute to different aspects of peace and what is a more holistic vision of peace for the 21st century. So that's kind of what I'm going to try to cover today. So I will get started if you want. But the key point is, as the world keeps evolving, our concepts of peace have to evolve. You know, it's not like anything is static in the world. You know, and so that gets into the futures too, that we're in a rapidly evolving world today, and we're more globally interdependent, but people are also having reactions to globalization from the right and the left for different reasons and so on. But we are in an interdependent world whether we like it or not, and modern technologies made us interdependent. We have a global economy, etc. But we don't always know how to, you know, we need to figure out what would help make this world a more peaceful place that would help support everyone getting their needs met. So here are the seven aspects of peace that have evolved within the peace studies field itself. So if we had audience people, I would ask them first, like, what does peace mean to you, you know? So we would get into that. But in the field itself, like, the first aspect of peace that a lot of people look at is absence of war, and then added to that, absence of physical violence. So as long as people are fighting each other, killing each other, et cetera, that's not a very peaceful world. And so the first thing is to try to stop the fighting and stop the physical violence as well, which is an issue right now in our country, so that we can start to listen to each other, dialogue more, try to solve our problems, you know, create more understanding between groups of people and so on. And then once you stop the fighting, then the next aspect of peace is to set up international institutions like the United Nations today, which is imperfect, but it's the international institution we have. And it's the one place where all the countries, actors of the world, nation states, as well as other actors can go. There's many NGOs called non-governmental organizations that are active on many different issues today that try to bring also a more progressive agenda to the world and to the nation state leaders of the world. And so, you know, there's annual conferences of both the world leaders meet in New York and then at the UN, and then also you have NGOs having conferences on various issues different years. So anyway, the second aspect is you need some kind of an international forum where all the different actors in the world, which are not just nation states, but non-governmental organizations, many other types of actors, can go and also have a place to discuss issues and try to resolve conflict short of going back to a state of war. And then after those two types of peace, you need to set up, the third type of peace is that it's not enough just to eliminate war and physical violence, but we need to also try to eliminate structural violence. And structural violence is where the system itself is inequitable to different groups of people. So the structure of the system is not meeting people's needs. This is also important when it potentially could. So the third type of peace, Johann Galtung was a famous peace researcher. He said the absence of war and physical violence is, he called, negative peace, and then the absence of structural violence he called positive peace. But it also means creating more social justice so that institutions serve, you know, more people's needs when it potentially could. And so, you know, the idea then of setting up international institutions isn't enough. They have to also, you know, help all different groups of people, not just an elite group and so on. So the third kind of peace is to eliminate structural violence where people are suffering because the system doesn't meet their needs when it could. And it focused more initially on more national, international, macro levels of the system. And then the fourth kind of that emerged was from feminists more and about gender peace. And what they basically added is, yes, we do need to eliminate physical violence and structural violence, but not just up on larger system levels of the nation or larger groupings and internationally. We need to go down to our communities and families on micro-level systems and also deal with eliminating physical violence and structural violence there. So if there are people, like if people are being abused in their own family, you know, physical abuse, that's not peaceful. And if communities, for example, don't offer jobs to everybody, you know, only certain people benefit from a system and they can't get an education, let's say, or opportunities for jobs and so on, then that's not helping to create a more peaceful world. So the feminists said we can't just deal with the macro level. We have to also deal with the micro level of, if we want to create, and also, you know, like patriarchal values and institutions that only support some people getting their needs met isn't very peaceful. So we need to broaden it and create, you know, if you can't give people opportunities on the local level, you know, and eliminate violence and give people opportunities for education and jobs, you know, then how do you expect to create peace in the world on the bigger system level? It's kind of what, so the feminists weren't speaking only for women, but for basically all kinds of people. And then, so those first four kinds of peace are all about what we need to get rid of. We need to eliminate physical violence, and we need to eliminate structural violence in different ways. And then the last three types of peace, my late husband, Paul Smoker, and I added these, and we framed them positively from a systems point of view, that where you have unity and diversity within a system, but you look at things as evolving and interdependent over time. So, and this is based, there was a famous person named Fred Pollock who said, a civilization without positive images of itself is doomed. So the idea here is that it's important to create, if you want to create a more peaceful world, not just to know what you want to get rid of, but to have a clear vision of what you want to create as an alternative. Because otherwise people will stay in a very unhappy state with the existing system, but they won't know where to move as an alternative, you know, to what to create instead. So these last three types of peace we rephrase, but they're based on, you know, is basically the fifth one is we need intercultural peace and interfaith and interdiversity. You know, we need to find a way that all the diversity of humanity somehow comes together, whether it's different cultures, religions, ethnic groups, races, whatever. We need to see not just that we're different, but that we're also interdependent within a larger systems context today. And then the sixth kind of peace was, it's not enough just to have, if humans could just figure out how to live together positively on this planet, right, then that's not the whole story. We have to also look at our relationship to the Earth and other species. So the sixth kind of peace is peace with the Earth and other species. And, you know, a lot of people think that we may be in the sixth mass extinction of species on the planet today, which is huge because the last one was the dinosaurs becoming extinct 65 million years ago. So it's a huge implication for us about how can we even sustain our own life and sustain ecosystems and everything if we're just, and this time it's very clear that it's humans that are, you know, leading to the danger of extinction of many other species. So, you know, there's also a term, the Anthropocene era that we're now in, since I now think about 1950, where humans have come to dominate the Earth so much, you know, that other species are more and more endangered and don't have their own natural habitats left anymore because we've taken over so much of the Earth. And so we have to more consciously set aside land if we want other species to be able to survive as well. So that's peace with the Earth is the sixth kind of peace. And then the seventh type of peace is inner peace. So we need to not only have all these forms of peace with the Earth, or peace with all, you know, social justice, peace in the world, all these other things, eliminating war, physical violence, structural violence, etc. But we need to also find peace within ourselves, because how can we find peace in the world if we're in total conflict or anger or whatever within ourselves, and we're projecting that out onto the world or other groups of people, which one could certainly say is being done by a certain group in our politics today, without mentioning any names. So basically, you know, the bottom line is peace has evolved within even the peace studies field. And peace studies is not just academic researchers and teachers, but peace studies field also includes people who are active in lots of areas, working in these different areas of peace. So anyway, if you look at all this evolution of views of peace, you can say the following things, that peace is now multifactored. It's not just absence of war. It's, you know, although a lot of people think of that first. Peace is also multi-system level. It has to deal from your inner peace to peace in your community, to peace in your nation, to peace in the world, to peace with other species, etc. So there's a lot of different aspects of peace, but on every system level, we need to look at how we're more interdependent and that the system functions well on that level. And then there are now multiple actors. It's not just nations who are actors in the world that are important. You know, there's non-governmental, all kinds of sort of different. So the world is more complex, but many different actors are in the system. And we need to focus not just on all these aspects of outer peace, but also how do we find inner peace. And then so the way we looked at these different types of peace is not just what we want to get rid of, but it's also what we need to create as an alternative, positive alternative. And we need to look at changes within a complex whole systems evolving. It works, my late husband and I did, but based on evolving views of peace from the peace studies field. And then another thing that became clear to me is that what's interesting, I went to different interfaith conferences about, you know, people dealing with different faith traditions and peace and different cultures and peace. And what's really interesting is if you look at three major big cultural civilization groups on the planet, there's Western cultures and civilizations, there's Eastern cultures and civilizations, and there's indigenous cultures and civilizations. And if you talk to people from each of these groups, they tend to start from a different starting point about what's most important if you want to create peace in the world. So basically, Westerners tend to always want to change the external world. You know, we start with, let's create more social justice, let's get rid of violence, let's do this. We're doing culture. We're very much of a doing culture. So we're always trying to look at peace in terms of what we can do to make the world better. But if you talk to people that start from Eastern cultures and civilizations and people who are Buddhists and Hindus and so on, they will usually start with inner peace. So they say, how can we have peace in the world if we can't find peace first within ourselves? So they stress more like prayer, meditation, etc., and ways to find inner peace as a kind of a precondition for peace in the world. And then the third group, indigenous people, almost always will start with peace with the earth. Like, that's our mother, the source of all life. If we don't take care of the earth, none of us are going to be here. And they really try to speak for the earth, and that's a very important part of their culture and civilization. So what I came up with here is that what we really need is all three of those things. So what we need to do is create a more holistic, integrated view of peace for the 21st century that we're now in, where all the different big major cultural groups on the planet have something very important to contribute to our vision of peace. And that if we could just, you know, learn to listen to each other a little bit and learn from each other, we could create a better vision of peace where we could, you know, really learn significant things from each other. So that's a little bit about an overview about the peace studies field. And I could read you, if you want, a few quotes about peace.
Absolutely, sure.
Are nice. One is from an Earth Charter that was written in 2000. It's a broad statement about taking care of the Earth, but also about different aspects of peace. And basically what they said was, peace is the wholeness created by right relationships with oneself, other persons, other cultures, other life, Earth, and the larger whole of which all are a part. So again, it's kind of seeing that we live as systems within systems within systems and so on different system levels, but all those systems are also evolving, right? And the parts of any system interact with each other and are interdependent. And if you want a system, like even your body, if you want your body to be healthy, the different parts have to somehow interact with each other, right, in a positive way, not just be at odds with each other. So that's the idea, that we need to create more, be more aware of our interdependence and so on. There's another quote from Jimi Hendrix, which is kind of a nice one, and he said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. So that's a nice little quote. And then another quote for international, there's an International Day of Peace every year on September 21st every year now. And so in September 21st, 2014, that quote was the right, you know, so how do we create a world where, you know, more people can have peace in their life? And, you know, people who are, like, if you look at the poor people, for heaven's sakes, in the Middle East these days, you know, good Lord, you know, they're dealing with violence all the time, and it's a very unhealthy environment to bring your kids up in, right, or to have to live in every day and focus on. So, you know, to me, one of the biggest challenges facing humanity today is, how are we going to learn to live together on this planet in a way that gives everybody more opportunities to develop their God-given creative potential and so on, so that more and more people can then also contribute back to society in positive ways and help make the world a better place. So, you know, we can't think only of our own little group, and if we want to have a peaceful world, we have to think about, you know, the well-being of everybody. And the world is more interdependent today. And, you know, the world's also in pretty much of a mess right now today, and there is too much violence and so on. But, and there's some people wanting to go back to kind of be isolationist and so on, but I don't think that's really an option. Because the world is interdependent with technology, it's interdependent with our economies, people travel different places and so on. I mean, it may be that there was a time in U.S. history earlier where we can be isolationists from Europe and so on, but I don't think, you know, that's and the U.S. is an important country in terms of some leadership in the world because, you know, if we can bring people together to support causes that are important and so on, then we can play a positive role. Anyway, those are just a few things, and I've got two books I'm working on peace. I could say something about that.
How much time do we have here?
I have my own book, which is called, it's a holistic, a big picture view of evolving views of peace and nonviolence, and also Community Peace Wheels. And the second book I'm working on is with a team of five people in L.A., Southern California, where we're getting, what we did is we created a peace wheel, and we put peace at the center of this hub. And around it, we created 12 sectors dealing with different aspects of peace. And then we invited people from the community to come for a different series of events. We had a peace convergence for a whole day where people shared in each sector what they were doing towards peace and then also what they felt were next steps we needed to take. Then we had a peace educational series where we had every month a different aspect of peace to focus on and see how different aspects interrelate as well. And then we had a peace recognition where we gave people certificates who are working in these areas of peace. And now we're working on this second book I'm working on with there are five of us working on it. And this is, we're calling this book as, what is it, Building Cultures of Peace, Empowering Our Local Global Communities. But we have, you know, we have a number of people. We have about 80 articles from people in our community, at least so far. And we've got a lot of good articles, some by activists, shorter think pieces, some longer, more academic type articles. But in each sector of these 12 sectors on peace, we have, you know, important people writing stuff. So I think it's going to be a nice statement from our community of positive things people are doing to try to build a culture of peace. And my own book will be called, which is a big picture, holistic view of evolving views of peace and nonviolence and these community peace wheels, which are designed to bring in different sectors of the community into the peace building process. Mine is called Sustainable Peace Building, the challenge of building cultures of peace on planet Earth based on holistic evolving views of peace, you know, which are your visions, goals for society and the world. Nonviolence is the desired means to use to bring about change, and then community peace wheels as a way to bring different sectors of the community together to share what they're each doing to help build more of a culture of peace, which is a term that the UNESCO came up with and also culture, the UN General Assembly after that. So this idea of building cultures of peace is now a global idea. And so, you know, it's an ongoing process, I think never ending, but, you know, we need to figure out how to create more peace and less violence and war as much as possible. So, are you there?
And just so that everyone knows too, we want to make sure that we do plug the website for
right.
Dr. Linda Groff. It's www.lindagroff, that's LINDAGROFF.net, lindagroff.net.
And it's FF in the end of Groff because people often don't get that right. GROFF, like Frank, yeah. Yeah, and there's going to be there were two initial interviews I did, and then there's 12 more in the series we're doing now. And there's a few up right now, but they're going to be put back up again with titles. So each topic is clearly on the website so people can listen to the topics because I've done futures ones and intercultural interfaith ones, and I'm doing peace ones, and there'll be more coming. There'll be 12 topics plus two other initial interviews. So they'll all be labeled so people can, you know, find the ones they're most interested in. So, but these darn interviews go too fast.
They do, but we still have about 5 minutes left for today's show. So what else would you like to follow up with about with regard to, peace?
Well, I think if we want to create a more peaceful world, nobody can do everything, right? But if everybody would make a little commitment to do something in any of these areas of peace, like if you feel more drawn to fighting war and, you know, ending war and violence, that's one thing. Or if you want to work towards supporting international institutions like the UN or whatever, or if you're more interested in eliminating structural violence and inequalities and working for social justice issues, that's another thing. Or if you're more interested in gender equity, you know, and giving women more opportunities. You know, Hillary Clinton was just nominated yesterday, so if she gets elected, she'll be the first woman president, and before that we had Barack Obama, the first African-American president, and so, you know, we're trying to widen opportunities for people in leadership in our country, you know. So, but, you know, the idea is to empower everybody more and give everyone more opportunities. And then if you want to, if you're interested in different cultures and civilizations and different faith traditions, you can work. There's lots of organizations that we've talked about before supporting intercultural communication, interfaith dialogue, and so on. If you're interested in preserving other species on the earth and taking care of the earth, then there's whole different organizations for that. But all these are supported by the peace studies field as well, and people writing in all these areas. And then inner peace, you know, there's, you know, I mean, Eastern cultures have that as pivotal to their concept of peace. But also, you know, a lot of Westerners have learned, for example, meditation as a positive way to improve their own health, even if it's not spiritual for them. You know, you, in hospitals, when you're healing, they sometimes teach people how to meditate. So to me, it's not an either or question about which kind of peace is right or wrong, but we need all of it, really. And different people can commit their lives and work in different aspects of peace. So, you know, you just have to look at your own inner voice, your own inner heart, like what aspect, you know, speaks to you, and then make some commitment to try to do something that might make a difference in the world, just at least somebody, you know, a few people, you know, the more the better. But, you know, if everybody would do something, it would add up and be significant.
Absolutely.
Advice.
Now,
yeah.
Is there anything that you think that people, you know, where could people reach out to find out more information and to really take part of all this?
Well, there's different professional organizations, all kinds of groups that work for peace, by the way. And there's two professional, more academic peace research groups. One is Peace and Justice Studies Association, has a conference coming up in September this year in Canada, Western Canada. There's also an International Peace Research Association, which is kind of the premier international peace research organization. But there's all kinds of people and communities who are peace activists working in all these different areas of peace I was talking about. And, you know, if you look up non-governmental organizations, NGOs, you know, they work on all kinds of issues relating to making the world a better place. So, you know, I've tried to come up with seven broad areas, but, you know, there's probably maybe a lot more, but I mean, a lot of activist groups would fit under some of those categories, but, you know, or learning to do conflict resolution or whatever. There's just, and universities have peace research, peace studies programs, peace and conflict resolution, or peace building programs, or, you know, nonviolence conflict resolution, trying to learn, you know, a lot of universities have programs. Sometimes they're
It looks like we might have lost Linda. And we'll see. Up, and here she is again, hopefully. Linda, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry, I don't know what happened. I got cut off. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem.
Time.
We have just about a minute left for tonight's show.
All right. Well, I think everybody, you know, we won't make a better world unless everybody does something to contribute to it. So, you know, find out where your passion is, what means something to you, and see if you can't make a commitment, you know, to just do something to make the world a little better, some commitment in your life beyond just yourself. And if everyone would do that, it would all add up to be significant, I think. Because, you know, there's a lot of things we need to work on. But people can make a difference, you know. That's the idea. If we sit back and we're disillusioned, we say there's nothing I can do, well, then there's nothing that will happen, right? Make some commitment themselves and realize they can make a difference. That would be my major point.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Linda. Again, yeah. As always, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll have you back on next Friday, same time, 4:30 Eastern time, for part 8 now of the 12-part series. And it looks like for next week's show, we'll be discussing transcending violence and war with nonviolent action. So should be a very hot topic for that, especially with everything that's going on. Again,
right.
Everybody, please check out lindagroff.net. That's LINDAGROFF. That's frankfrank.net. So, again, Linda, thank you so much for coming on today, and we will see you again next
week. Great. Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
From everyone
take care,
here
everybody.
At CMC Radio, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Take care.